Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, if you'll stand with me, let's pray. Father God, we do come this morning. And Lord, Lord, we bring our hearts to you. Lord, help us to bring those things that hold us back from being in your presence, Lord. Help us to just be able to lay it at your feet. And Lord, may we lift you up this morning. May we lift you up, Lord, and worship and praise you as you are so well deserving of. Thank you, Lord, for every person that is here this day, Lord. This is not an accident. They are to be here this day, Lord. They are to hear what the word is this day through Abe, Lord. And they are to be able to give of their hearts through worship, Lord. So thank you for this day. And as I said before, stand, kneel, whatever it is that the Lord would lead you through the worship time. And just be blessed this day. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know how much you're blessed? Do you know how much the Father loves you and that He won't stop loving you, that He continues to love you even on your down parts? He says that He is so amazing and He loves you so much. And He's saying that it's already been finished. What He's done has already been finished. In other words, you're perfect in front of Him. So He wants you to stop begging Him. He doesn't want you to beg Him anymore for all your healings or all your things that you want. All He wants you to do is ask Him and praise Him and love Him. And that's how you're going to get your blessings. That's how you're going to get your healings. That's how you're going to be amazed of what He can do for you. But when you start going and asking, Lord, help me, help me. He's going, I already did. I already did help you. I'm already done it. But don't you believe me? So if we're going to start believing Him, then we need to start thanking Him and saying, praise you, Lord. Thank you for what I don't. Faith is knowing that it's going to happen even though you don't see it. So believe it before you see it. And that's the whole idea, is that He loves you so much. And all He wants you to do is for you to believe Him. He loves you because He created you. He created you to be a righteous and blessing. But the thing is, we go to Him and we're saying, help me, help me. And God's saying, I already did. He's already done it. So all you have to do is to believe it and thank Him for it. And as soon as you start doing that, you'll see a difference. It won't stay there. But the more you go, please, please, then He's saying, you don't believe me. When you say, thank you, Lord, I praise you, I give you the honor, and I'm so excited that you hear my prayers, because He hears everyone's prayers. And because of that, He just says, amen, amen, it will be done, because He loves you.
Okay, here it is. The Lord has been putting this on my heart over and over and over again. I need to walk just because it helps me through this. The Lord has been putting this on my heart over and over and over again, and I'm speaking it into people's lives. I'm trying to speak it into my own, because I don't know if you all know, I've been pretty ill for the last 3 months with a cough. And I've had to just speak against that cough in the name of Jesus. Speak against it, speak against it, speak against it. And just say in the name of Jesus, this will not continue. But you know, the Lord is faithful. But the word that the Lord keeps putting on my heart over and over again is Proverbs. And I want you all to say this with me if you can, if you know what it is. Proverbs 23:7. Does anyone know what that is? That is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. So what we do for our church, what we do for ourselves, is we speak peace. We speak joy. We speak overcoming. Whew. Wow. We speak overcoming. Mandisa, my favorite song, Overcomer. It's one of my favorite songs, Overcomer. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the word of our testimony.
Yes.
So then the other is Proverbs 18:21.
Yes.
Hold on. The tongue has the power of life. I'm shaking so much, guys. I'm sorry. I'm like shaking so much. Okay. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love their words will eat the fruit. So now what I'm saying is that our words have power. And that there is a anointing on this. And I know that for sure because the Lord's been speaking in on my heart, because there are times that I, you know, when you're going through some hard times, you say things you shouldn't say, right? Don't we all? Yeah. Am I the only one? So I speak peace into everyone's life situation. I speak healing in the name of Jesus over every life situation. I speak order over this, over the computers. I speak whatever you want it to be, you speak it, but you speak it in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, we are over more than conquerors to him who loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. So that's the word. The Lord has been putting this on my heart over and over and over again with friends, with people that keep speaking to me about how bad their health situations are. And I say, I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We don't talk about how, we don't talk about the ailment. We give it to the Lord. Yeah. Wow. So, praise be unto Jesus. That's it. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
This is pretty long, and I'm sorry about its length, but I got this at 2:30 in the morning. So I thought I'd write it down, and it's talking about me, and it's also talking about the church. So, have your way in me, your vessel. Consume me with your heavenly fire. Glow within my earthly being. Grow within my earthly frame. Send me out in service to you. Show me what my mission is. Flow within my earthly body. Let me know that I am his. Take out any evil from me. Fill me with thy heavenly praise. Have me grow within your body and to sing with my voice raised. Have my vision gaze upon you. Have me hear your heavenly voice. Have my thoughts be ever on you, so I function with your choice. Flow within your earthly vessel. Use me till I yield to you. Ignite the fire within this body. Have my purpose be fulfilled. Show me, Lord, in every minute, every second of your love. Have me exist for you only. Have me flow with heavenly love. Show me how to pray with power, to possess your heavenly faith. Have me know your vision only, to fulfill my earthly days. Use me mightily, dear Father. Show me how to live with praise. Have your way with us, your vessels. Consume us with your heavenly fire. Glow within our earthly beings. Grow within our earthly frames. Send us out in service to you. Show us what our mission is. Flow within our earthly bodies. Have us know that we are His. Take out any evil from us. Fill us with thy heavenly praise. Have us grow within your body and to sing with voices raised. Have our vision gaze upon you. Have us hear your heavenly voice. Have our thoughts be ever on you so we function with your choice. Flow within your earthly vessels. Use us till we yield to you. Ignite the fire within our bodies. Have our purpose be fulfilled. Show us, Lord, in every minute, every second of your love. Have us exist for you only. Have us flow with heavenly love. Show us how to pray with power, to possess your heavenly faith. Have us know your vision only, to fulfill our earthly days. Use us mightily, dear Father. Show us how to live with praise.
All right. Before we get started here, how about we go ahead and open with a prayer? So if you would, pray with me. God, I just ask that you be with me, be with us right now, and that the scriptures that we hear, that they're just on our heart, that we're aware of them, that, Lord, we incorporate it into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So what I want to talk about today is just kind of like what is the basis of everything about our faith? There's a basic understanding of how we should live our lives. And basic understanding, I want to look at that definition real quick here. And this is from the Cambridge Dictionary. And it's basic means simple and not complicated, and therefore able to be a starting point from which something can develop. So who wants to develop their relationship with God? Yeah? A few people. Other people will talk to you later. Just kidding. Yeah. So... if you think about it, what would actually make that happen? What's the base point we could probably start from? Like, what is the thing that, if we knew it, that it could change everything for us, right? In Matthew, verse 22, and this is 34-40, it says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.'" Okay, I would say that's a pretty good place to start, right? Yep. And then it says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." All right, first, greatest. "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Okay. So, if it says that everything hangs on those two commandments, how important do you think these two commandments are? Very, right? And also think about it. Think about what the commandments are, right? Yeah. Okay, that's supposed to... Well, first of all, the first one that we just read, and to love your neighbors yourself. But think about the other stuff. You know, thou shalt not murder, bear false witness, all these other things, right? Yeah. Have any false images. Okay, what is that all kind of... if you love somebody, like if you love God, yeah, would you take his name in vain? No. If you love people, would you murder them?
No.
No. Okay. So, like, you can look at a lot of these commandments, commands that we have in the New Testament, that these are things that's like teaching us how to love people, right? It's not about following rules, okay? Because that's miserable, right? Just rule following. So have you ever heard anything where Jesus or God said anything about, like, if you love me, you'll do this? Like, if you love me, this is John chapter 14, verse 15. It says this. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. Okay? A few verses later, and it's John 14, and this is verses 21 to 24. It says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And you can see here, like, okay, Jesus is a man here, but he's also God, right? Okay, but he still says, these words aren't my own. They belong to the Father who sent me, right? So he's still being obedient, right? He's still following commands. Let's look at 1 Samuel, and this is chapter 15, verse 22. And it says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Okay. So if you think about that, it's like, what are we talking about in general here? What was the reason why they had sacrifices? Why did Jesus die on the cross? To forgive sins, right? Okay, so what do you think God's trying to tell us here? He's like, I'd rather you just do the right thing first than have to ask for forgiveness. Okay? Because if you think about it, think about the things you do that would cause you to ask for forgiveness. The things that would cause you to, you know, need that sacrifice, right? You'd probably either, yeah, well, not probably, but you either wrong God or you wronged another person, right? So what's being said here is like, I'd rather you just be the person you're supposed to be, treat God as you should, treat people as you should, than have to come to me and ask for forgiveness, to say you're sorry. Okay, it's better that we just be good people than we just like mess up and be like, well, I can ask for forgiveness, you know. This is what God prefers, is our obedience. Okay. So in Acts chapter 13, this verse 22, we hear about David, right? This is after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. So how do we know he's a man after his own heart? Or what did he do to become a man after his own heart, right? It's because he will do everything I want him to do, okay? And we know that he didn't live a perfect life. He did some messed up stuff, right? We know about that. So, you know, don't feel like you can't be a person after God's heart and, you know, still kind of have those things in your past, those things that you do, the things that you're working on. But also don't use that as an excuse to keep doing those things. Because as we just talked about, God prefers that you'll be obedient than you ask for forgiveness. So You know, a lot of this sounds, it can kind of sound one-sided, right? Well, God wants all this stuff from me, but what is God going to do for me, right? But, you know, we should know, hey, he sacrificed his son for us, right? Jesus died on the cross. Not only did he die on the cross, but he was ridiculed. He was tortured, humiliated. And it wasn't just for us that believe. He died for the sins of everybody. It's just there's people that won't accept that. And that's sad. So even though God knew that his love and what he offered wasn't going to be returned by people, he still did it. So this is John chapter 15, verse 10. It's probably a good place to go. You know, the disciple who Jesus loved, right? Right, Pastor?
I like it.
Yeah? So it starts out, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And just by that first verse there, we can see that Jesus is not asking us to do anything different that he didn't do already, right? He obeyed God, the Father, God, the Son, did it already. So we are able to do the same, okay? So verse 11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Okay. And you think about it, it's like going back to it, like commands, like it just sounds like you're following rules, right? But you're not. It's what you're doing is you're learning to live your life in a way that pleases God, but also will give you a good and prosperous life. And by prosperous life, I don't mean you're going to get rich, okay? But you're going to have peace and you're going to have joy. You're going to have love, okay? You're going to have God with you. But, I mean, have you ever, I've always tried to think of it like, I've always tried to articulate it. It's like, how do I tell people that, like, serving God is so different than just like tacking them on to your life. Like, you know, I believe in God. I love him, right? I'll pray when I'm in trouble. You know, I'll you know, give my tithe offering. But it's completely different when I'm like, God, I want to know you so much that I want to know how I'm supposed to live my life. I want to know what kind of plan you have for my life. And then I want to do that instead of whatever I have planned already. But I think it shows it right here, just in that verse, I have told you this so that you, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So by actually following these commands, that's a place where your joy can come from. Okay? You know, the world will tell you that joy doesn't come from that. Joy comes from having money. Joy comes from, you know, going to all these crazy places. Joy is going to come from being famous, right? But, you know, it's not true. Joy comes from what we just read. Just obeying God, right? And the other thing, too, is, like, think about, like, somebody you love, the closest person to you. All right. Now, when you do something for them, are you doing it because you're worried that they're going to be upset at you? That they're going to get angry? Or are you doing it because you want to make them happy? Are you doing it because you want to bring joy to them? Okay, so that's kind of the same thing I've been trying to get at here with, like, we shouldn't be doing this out of following rules that we're worried about being punished. Okay, because there are consequences to our actions, but we should be doing these things because we truly love God, because we do want to make him happy. And we aren't obligated to do it, right? We don't want to feel like that either. I mean, do you feel obligated when you treat the one you love? Like, I know I like to buy, like, Ben these little, like, surprises, he calls them, because I know he gets happy, right? He gets joyful. He's like, you got a surprise for me? And then I give it to him, and he'd be like, oh, look at this. And he'd be happy, he'd be playing with it. I do that because I like to bring joy to him. So it says this. And also, before I forget, sorry. If you don't have joy in your life, if you are feeling depressed, feeling sad, or you're feeling bitter, or you're feeling angry, just all the time, and that's all that's in you, there's the simple question to ask, just, am I being obedient to God? It sounds weird, I know, because it's not logical. But if you look at Scripture, it makes absolute sense. Because you could be in the place that you are right now because you didn't follow the path God has set for you. You didn't follow the way that God had set up life. That maybe you chose your own goals or your own ways to make yourself happy over what God says will truly make you happy. Because, you know, money, it can make you happy for a moment till it's gone, till you spent it, or until something else happens in your life that money can't solve. Same thing with, you know, being popular, famous. Same thing with being, like in certain relationships or having certain things. But once those things are gone, or once you're done using them, what happens? The real world comes back and you're back in your circumstance. And the difference is when you have God and you have his joy and his peace, no matter what circumstance you're in, that joy and that peace remains. So it goes on here. It says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And I read this verse just last week when we celebrated Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just told you a few minutes ago about that, what he endured on that cross. He gave his life for us. So much more than just his life, his dignity. You know, not all of us are called to die for God, but all of us are called to live life for God. We need to make sure that everything that we do, as Scripture says, even, you know, whether you eat or drink, do it all unto the glory of God, that we're doing it for God. And it goes on, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. There it is. There's that word again. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, first of all, isn't it great that God chose us? You know, Scripture says that he chose us, that he created us. He took the time to make us as an individual. There's not going to be another you any other time on this face of the earth. There's just one of you. Can you imagine with all the people who've ever lived, you're the only you? Okay. In Ephesians, you know, it says, for your God's handiwork. Another translation says masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do. Like, God actually took the time to say, you know, this is going to be you. I'm going to give you these talents, these abilities, this life. I mean, just each one of us, think about that. How amazing is that? I think sometimes we might just lose sight of that. You know, we're just like born and it's like, oh, it came from my parents. It's like. But God planned you. Amen. Before even the creation of the earth. Just know that, you know, we're talking about following these commands here. And like I said before, it kind of seems like it's lopsided, but like, it's this thing where we will never be able to even come close to all the things that God has done for us because of how great his love is for us. And he's shown it in such a way that, like, I mean, he's God. We just cannot reciprocate in that kind of way. But at the very least, we can just do kind of like what he's called us to do. So, you know, as the last verse says there, it says, this is my command, love each other, right? That can be hard sometimes, right? It can be hard. Come on, you can be honest. There's some people that make it hard. It's like, just let me love you. Yeah. It can be hard. But, I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's simple, right? Love each other. I mean, it's simple. Okay. Not always easy, but it's simple. You don't need to have some crazy degree in theology to like, God, tell me, what do you really mean here? It's like, no, just love each other. Right. It's basic. So, you know, the other thing too is like, If you feel like it's hard for you to do what God's asking you to do, if you feel like it's a burden, it really shouldn't be. Because God has equipped you. Yeah. God has also empowered you. Yeah, whose mind do you have? You have the mind of Christ, right? You have also the Holy Spirit. So the thing is you got to stop relying on yourself and relying on those things that God has given you. And to do these things, to be obedient, is not a burden. 1 John, is chapter 5, verse 3, it says this. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. All and his commands are not burdensome. Okay? Just says that, right? So if it's a burden, you know, it's another thing you got to ask yourself again. It's like, you know, what is my motivation for doing these things? Am I worried about getting in trouble or do I truly love God? Okay. Because, I mean, it has to come from that point. You have to, it's something you need to understand. It's like so fundamental to everything about us living our lives is that you have to love God. You have to really love God. You have to figure out what that means. To love God. And a big part of it, obviously, is being obedient and following his commands, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times did we read those words? So that is a huge part of it. But, you know, it's not necessarily everything. We got a whole Bible to look through, right? Yeah. But we only have another couple hours here this Sunday. So we can't talk about all of it. No? All right. Matthew, this is chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. So understand, if you feel like something's weighing on you, if something is hard, maybe not so much because, you know, it's just difficult to get through. But if it feels like you're just slogging through, like you don't have that joy, that peace we were talking about before, make sure you're not trying to do something under your own power and that it really is God who's helping you. So, 1 John 4, and this is verse 15 through 19. It says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we love, how love is made complete among us who among us, so that we will have the confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Okay, so who should we try to be living like?
God.
Yeah. Simple, right? We have a whole Bible that talks about how he lived his life. Okay, so we should read it. Be like Jesus. And then it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And remember what I was saying earlier is like, we shouldn't be following commands or like they're just rules because we're worried about getting punished, right? But we're doing it because it's out of love. It says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So now, do you think with those few verses and what we talked about, you have a basic understanding of how we love God? I hope so. Right. What do you think is an easy way, or what do you think we need to do? One major way to show God we love him.
Love
others. Obey. Right. Okay. Simple as that. Not because it's rules, we're worried about getting punished, but because we'll actually receive joy from doing that. Okay? So, there was a second commandment, right? The first one was pretty much love God with everything you have. And the second, we're going to read about right here again. So, Luke chapter 10, and this is verses 25 through 37. This probably sound kind of familiar. And it says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. So do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So you notice that question there? He wanted to justify himself. Wanted to justify himself. Now, that wouldn't be a question if it was asked out of love. Okay, because what he's really asking is, like, who do I actually have to love like myself? Is it the person next door? Is it the person just down the street? How far out do I have to go? Right? Is it, you know, back in my hometown? What? And, you know, it might even been a question of like, well, I kind of messed up and I treat these types of people badly. So, I mean, am I still okay? Still good? I mean, they're not really my neighbor, right? And notice it doesn't say, and treat fellow believers as yourself, right? What does it say? It says neighbor. That could be anybody, okay? Who is my neighbor? You know, try to justify himself. So, you know, it's important that we don't try to justify ourselves. You'll see it a lot of times. I've said this before too, is like, you know, you got all kinds of teachers on the internet, YouTube, right? Stream from their own church sites. And you can search and search and search until you find the answer you want. Because you want to justify the thing that you're doing. You know, I would say lately, a lot of times when people hear the word Christian, I don't think love is the first thing that comes to mind. We need to change that. This is love your neighbor as yourself. Not that person who thinks a certain way, says a certain thing, votes a certain way, because that's going to start happening again. Everybody, right? Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you do have to love them. Okay? So, it said, it replied, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now remember, there is another story in the Bible where, you know, they were surprised that there was a good Samaritan, right? They were thought of as like, oh, these are bad people who aren't going to help anybody. Okay. But from this, it's saying that's the person who stopped. Okay. They wouldn't think of that person as a neighbor in that time. So it says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 denarii, and that would be like 2 days' wages worth of money, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So, that's what is required of us. Okay? Our neighbor isn't just the people around us right now or next door. It's everybody. Love everyone as yourself. Okay? Even when they don't love you. I mean, have you heard it before? Bless your enemies, do not curse them. Right? Okay. It could be that you're the one person who comes into contact with them and lets them see who Jesus really, truly is, what God truly is about, and saves them from a life of just eternal torment. So when you're not being treated with decency, respect, kindness, return that. but also when you're being treated with decency and kindness and respect, do the same. So now we talked about like all these, but do we know what like these commands are? I mean, how well do we know them, right? Let's see if I can say this right. I'll just kind of think of it this way. Okay, imagine if I just take a random person and tell them, like, I'm going to take you on vacation, right? Don't really know them that well. Just like, we're going. Okay, so the place I take them, taking camping, okay? But not only camping, but we're going to go primitive camping, okay? There's no running water. There's no bathrooms. Whatever you bring with you is what you got, okay? Yeah? So imagine if I take you there, and then also, you know, just like feed you food that you don't like, right? Or feed this person that, okay? And I'm like, okay, we're going to go on long hikes too. Miles and miles. This person's not used to it. And they're just having a miserable time, right? So where did I fail? Right? I failed in not knowing the person, okay? I didn't truly know them. It's just like, hey, come on, we're doing this, okay? So, you know, a lot of times we try to do that with God. Like, okay, I accept you, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, and it's like, you're coming with me. This is my life. You know, I've heard some stuff about what you like, and, you know, I guess I'll do that. I won't swear. You know, I won't get, you know, I won't do these certain things, right? But it turns out, like, those are just things people say, and they aren't true, right? Well, you shouldn't curse, but, you know. it's this thing where, like, we're going to possibly take God somewhere he doesn't belong. Okay, that might sound weird, but think about this. It's like, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it talks about sexual sin. And Pastor talked about one of the verses about that. Like a couple weeks ago, but it's like, don't you know you were purchased with a price? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So the other thing is like, you know, sometimes you're taking that name Christian to places it shouldn't be. And they're like, you're a Christian? It's like, oh yeah, God's okay with this, you know? So, I mean, those are just extremes, but I mean, there's even little things, right? There can be even little things that we do that maybe aren't pleasing to God. Okay. But, you know, how is it that we find out what these things that we should be doing? How do we, you know, learn those things? How do we know what those are? It's pretty simple, right? So let's look in Deuteronomy. This is chapter 6, and it's verses 4 through 9. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That sounds familiar, right? And it was talking about the Ten Commandments, I believe, at this point. And it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. So, I mean, it is work to study the Bible, right? But there's another one of those things where it's like, it's simple. Right? The answer is simple. What are the commands? It's like, well, just read your Bible. And may not be easy, maybe things that you don't understand. But let me ask you something. If the person you love, if you didn't understand something about them, what is something you would do? Maybe ask them. Okay. Maybe work at it until you figured it out. Okay, I know there's a lot of jokes about, like, you know, husbands just can't understand their wives, which, you know, sometimes is kind of true. I don't know. But, but, like, you know, if there's, I love my wife, right? So what would I do? Just ask her. Okay. Are we able to ask God anything? We could pray, right? In fact, God even gave us a whole list of things that we could look at. It's like, oh, this makes you happy. All right, I'll do that, right? So wives, husbands, maybe we should write up lists. I don't know. <Just kidding. laughs> But, you know, the thing is like when you love and you truly love, you will work at it with everything, right? It's not just something where you're like, eh, I tried. Don't get it. Done. Move on. Next thing, right? Okay, because if you truly love, you're going to put everything into it. You're going to put all your effort. Even if that's not really you and what you're about, you will do things for the person you love that you normally wouldn't do. Okay, and we have to think is like, you know, it's just like right there in front of us, but I don't think we always apply that because like we don't see God right there in front of us. That, you know, if we love God, we're gonna like put in some effort to show him that we love him. We're gonna put in some effort to know and understand him. Just like for somebody we love, we're gonna put in effort to know and understand them. So just know that, like, huge part of everything that we believe and we know or should know, huge part of, like, how we should live our lives are just summed up in those two things. You know, first, love God with everything we have. And second, love our neighbor as ourself. Love the people that we come in contact with as ourselves. Just those two things. It's very simple. But like gain understanding as to like, what does that really mean? What does that really mean to love God? What does that really mean to love people? How do I do that and then actually do it? And from all that, You'll have peace, you'll have joy, you'll have a wonderful life. So if you would, stand with me and let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. The attention and the care that you pay to us, Lord. If there's anybody here that doesn't truly feel that, Lord, let them know that. Let them feel that. Let them understand you better. Let all of us understand you better. Lord, just help us to keep in mind and be aware of those things that make you happy because we love you. We want to make you happy. We don't want to be rule followers. We don't want to be obligated. We don't want to be burdened. We want to do these things because we truly love you. And we truly love your creation, the people on this earth that you created, Lord. Help us to just be more loving. Help us to understand your word. And Lord, just help us to bring that joy and that peace that we may have, should have, to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.